Now, what am I going to preach? Well, I was going to preach Brother Copeland's notes. I really thought about it. And I thought, you know, because when you come to a minister's conference, it's a lot different than when you're preaching to a crowd of people and different things of that nature. Because like someone said earlier, you don't have to break it down so that, you know, you can say it and ministers will pick up on it if they've got any ears to hear. And I thought I would preach out of Luke 4:16. You know, he went to Nazareth where he was brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There's delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up the book and found the place where it was written. Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to a minister. I love that. He gave a closed book to a minister. You know what that means? He ain't interested in your opinions. Preach the book. He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. All the eyes of them in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bearing witness and wondered at the gracious words were proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? No, this is the Messiah who you've been looking for. Now that sounds good. And I could preach that closed book, but I'm not. But the Lord said I could give you a little appetizer on it. So he's really not interested in your opinions. Just preach what's here. Because I tell you what, it's work for everyone. It will work for you. Then I thought I might preach out of the book of Daniel that God would send angels. He said, I've come for your word. Oh, Daniel, beloved of God. Man, what are you saying? Maybe the reason why God hadn't been in your church and not saying anything. There's no words to pick up to bring to him. And I thought, my God, now that would really minister. I can't do that. Then I thought, I'm going to preach some of these things this year. The just shall live by faith. Why not people are blessed? Why? You know, because if you look in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. You go over to Proverbs, the Bible said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Then it dawned on me the reason why most people cannot receive the 30, 60, and 100 fold because they don't really believe they're just. You see, that's what it's all about. Because if you're not really just, then you don't know for sure if that really belongs to you. Now, one thing I hated my mother used to do, and the Bible said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and the reason why some people don't have it, because all your stuff's on layaway. And I hated the word layaway. My mama said, Jesse, I bought you something, I put it on layaway. I went, oh, no, mama, that means you got it, but you can't receive it. And chances are, during the year, she gonna call the store and tell them to put it back on the shelf. So, layaway problems. People don't realize they're just, so they can't receive this supernatural inversion. Spiritually, physically, and financially. It all boils down to that because you know what the Word of God says. But you just don't know if it's that much. But you got to realize in the last days, we're going to cause some of the big canons of the gospel to get nervous. I've had some tell me, I can't find that name in your seed in the Bible. You can't find the word rapture neither. But it's there. And I'll just give you a little hint on if you want to help you. When God breathed on Mary, he refused to let Mary name Jesus. He said, that boy is my seed, and I named him, and his name shall be Emmanuel, which means focus, and watch what this young man is going to do. Now, I thought I'd preach on that, but the Lord said no. I said, well, can I say that? He said, yes, you can. So I just said it. I'll be preaching some of those things during the year. So turn with me now to the book of St. John, chapter 6. And this is what the Lord said I would preach on. And this is something I do not do very much. And as you turn to St. John chapter 6, I had the honor. The things that blesses me was to see the anointing that comes out of a piano that's played by a master. And that's Dino Kosanakis. And when he started playing, I know good stuff when I see it. I know the quality when that hand goes up. That's called a Juilliard touch. Lord Jesus. He asked me one time, we ought to do a piano duo. And you know, when he hits those notes, shakes like that. But if we ever did a duo, he'd go, I've made a mistake. I should not have asked him. Because I'm just a saloon player, you know. This man is of great quality. The anointing of a Catherine Kuhlman is in his hands as he plays. Makes you hit notes you never thought you could. I just enjoyed it. I like the quality of the anointing. And when you see it in that quality, not just quantity. I'm a quantity player. I bet people say, man, you can play. No, I just hit the thing. Made you look at me instead of hear what I was playing. It's called showmanship. I've been to Vegas. I've worked. I know what I'm talking about. But Dino, you don't have to just see him. You can hear the quality of the anointing of God. And it brought healing up. Because of the Catherine Kuhlman anointings that are in his life, just like the Catherine Kuhlman anointings in Benny Hinn's life. Now, they may go in different directions, but that anointing is still ever present. So we got to enjoy some of Catherine's anointing through the hands of Dino today. And then the words that were spoke out of Brother Kenneth Copeland was that healing began to flow. And I thought, man, I don't doubt Catherine's up there saying, I taught that boy. It's still working because no man's gift, no woman's gift ever stops. Man told me one time, he said, women shouldn't preach. They're not allowed. I said, are women filled with the Spirit? Well, yes. I said, well, I don't know if any person's ever preached because preaching and teaching comes from the Spirit of God. It's in the Spirit. So, my Lord, if a woman's filled, why can't she preach? Why can't she teach? He hadn't talked to me since. Are you at John chapter 6? I want to start reading with verse 1. I'll tell you the title of this message in just a minute as I read these passages of Scripture. St. John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Why? Because they saw his miracles. See, what you preach, people must see. What you confess, you must possess. If you want, quote, following. Talk's cheap. But, you know, you got to walk the walk if you're talking the talk. So it must be a production. God is a producer of things. The anointing of increase is on Dr. Leroy Thompson. And you see it as well as hear it. You can notice those. You see that anointing of great miracle healing power on Benny. But he only talk about it. He produces it. You see. Look at this. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Time for a little relaxation. And the Passover and feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. Now underline that because I'm going to deal with something right there in a minute. Jesus saw something. Now when you see something, you usually say something. He saith unto Philip, and it's so powerful, his words go red when he says it. I tell you, that's hot words. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said that we may eat. Jesus is a producer, a distributor. Instead of saying what we gonna eat, that these may eat. That's the father. That's a father and a mother. They're going to feed their children before you feed yourself. You know what I mean? You got to provide for your family. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him. Now, you know Philip's called to the gospel because of this statement. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. Jesus never asked him to calculate how much it cost to feed that crowd. But that's a preacher. See, preachers deal with budgets. Budgets cost you something. Vision bring you something. He said, make the vision plain. Didn't say make the budget plain. And many of you pastors know if you have meetings in your own churches, we're going to receive our expense offering for the meeting. You get this. You can tell people don't like. Why? Because it's costing them something. But when you get up and say, bless God, this is the vision of this ministry. People go, oh. Because vision bring you something. But because we have to understand that things do cost. And the Bible said don't build a tower unless you know the cost. But we become so budget minded, we lose our vision. And we produce our budget instead of our vision. And usually, when you're trying to produce your budget, you're trying to meet your own need. But if you let God, you know, you'll get just enough if you meet your own need. But if you let God, you'll get more than enough a vision. The Lord was bringing that. Watch this. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now that's really great. And then he blows it. But what are they among so many? You got to understand, what's an oak tree but an acorn that held its ground, that refused to let a squirrel eat it? I'll be a tree. Yeah, but you don't look like a tree. Don't make no difference. You hadn't seen what's inside of me. You've only seen what's outside of me. Watch this. Jesus said, now here is an amazing statement. A lot of people miss over, look over. And it's so powerful. Words go red again. Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. That's another phenomenal statement. So the men sat down, a number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. So he received the gift from the lad. And when he had given thanks, you notice he didn't take a bite of it. He is hungry. He distributed it to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. Now, Brother Copeland calls that the twice sown seed. I love that. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would when they were filled. Now, here is something totally out of context that you would think God is not interested much in. But it's so interesting. It comes from the lips of Jesus and not the lips of people or the disciples. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together. Now, underline that, because that's something powerful there. And filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Now, most people are going to look at the amount of, but the most amazing part is the gathering them together, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I want to go back to verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company, what did that mean to him? An unrealized possibility. Sometimes you don't realize the possibility that's in front of you. He sees a possibility. It's unrealized to the disciples, but not to Jesus, because he's a distributor. He sees a company of people coming. He goes, whoa, an unrealized possibility. Let me see if Philip understands it. Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, let me do a little preaching first. I get funny after a while. I can have you fall out them chairs if I want to, but just let me give you what God has given me, okay? If you don't mind. When shall we buy? Because this is a preacher meeting. I mean, my Lord, I mean, I get, maybe preachers need to laugh more than anybody else. Maybe they do, because they, well, you really, after you heard Maxwell, you have no more stress. After you heard Keith, glory to God, just get behind your shield. Okay. He says, let's see if Philip got this. Hey, Phil, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, I can think about Philip thinking, my God, there goes the offering we received last night. How are we ever going to do this? And besides, Jesus, I don't even like these people. Why feed them? But this is an unrealized possibility. See, are your eyes anointed enough to see unrealized possibilities? That you look out there and go, whoa, my God, a chance to do something. Now watch this. Verse 10 says, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. To make an unrealized possibility to come to pass, you must have organization. Organization is a must. So that tells me that Jesus sees unrealized possibilities. But to make them become realized, you must have organization. So he says, make the men sit down. Another one says, sit down companies of 50. If you look at another one of the gospels. So organization is a must. If you're going to have an unrealized possibility become real in your life. In other words, you got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, it won't work. You may have heard me say this several years ago. I was believing God for $50,000 to do this television. This is in the 80s. $50,000 was like $50 million. I mean, I thought, God, this is, it was an unrealized possibility. And I thought, God, but I knew he told me to do it. Now, I was praying and I said, Lord, I need them help. And I had like 6 days in which this money to come in to pay Cox. And real quickly, to make a long story short, of that $50,000, $37,000 came in. And I thought, my God, man. That's wonderful. You know, over and above. And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, is that me? I said, yeah, that's you. He said, is that more than enough? Well, no. I know it's not, but Lord, you don't want to tell God he's, you know, $12,000 or $13,000 short. You just thank God that he sent you the $37,000. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to tell God he's short, but I'm pretty sure Lester Summerall would have. If I understand Mark, you're short here. You know. So I just kept praying. And I said, Lord, I need $50,000. Lord, I need it. And I just thought, my God, man, help me, Jesus. And the Lord started talking to me about Oral Roberts' prayers. I said, what? He said, you know what, Jesse, Oral Roberts just asked me for $5 million. I said, what'd you do? He said, I gave it to him. Now, that made me mad. I said, you mean to tell me you gave Oral Roberts $5 million and you ain't going to give me a lousy $50,000? He said, you don't have a plan. You just have a need. Write that down. God help me, Lord. I said, forgive me, Jesus. I'll never be caught without a plan. I got a $50 million plan. I got a $173 million plan. I tell you what, man, you can call me the planner. I'll never be caught ever again without a plan. Because God just doesn't give the needs. He gives the something called a plan. You see, it's an unrealized possibility, but it got to be some organization in it. Then he says this. Now, there was much grass in verse 10. There was much grass in the place. Now, if that would have been the 60s and the 70s, I went, say, man, this is it, man. Woo, we going to fly like an eagle. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Dennis Burke's first 25 years of his life was in the sky. Lucy in the sky. With diamond. Look at some of the people who've been saved all their life. Who's Lucy? No, listen. Now, watch this. So from verse 5 is an unrealized possibility. Verse 10 is an organizational. Verse 10 is organizational. And in the same verse, an environment is there to produce a miracle. You see, you ain't going to have a miracle in your life unless the environment's right. Because you see, they're in a place where an unrealized possibility is coming to pass. God makes them sit down in an organization, but in a nice place. There's much grass. It's nice. It's clean. It smells good. It's an environment that is percolating for a miracle. Notice this. When Benny Hinn starts his meeting, you never see Benny come out and go, hello, I am Benny Hinn. No. What happens is those worship people create an environment for miracles. Benny comes in, and if you ever been around Benny's meetings, and I've been in his meetings and ministered for him and been on his program, all kinds of stuff, there is great organization. There's unrealized possibilities everywhere. But that environment is produced for that miracle to flow. Miracles are taking place before he hits the stage because the environment is set. So Jesus sees that this is a nice place. You're comfortable. Much grass. I mean, ain't no rock sticking you where it. Not supposed to. You know what I'm saying? It's nice. So now he's able to produce a miracle out of this unrealized possibility. In verse 11, Jesus here receives by faith. Prays by faith. He receives the young man's lad's lunch. He prays by faith, and now he distributes by faith. Are you getting this? So notice he receives it. Thank you, young man, for being concerned that I was hungry. So he receives it by faith. Then he blesses it and prays by faith. Then he distributes by faith. Isn't that amazing? So notice this. It's all in sync. But then there's something that happens that really you don't think much about. Jesus, Creflo Dollar says, he feed 5,000 people with a 2-piece fish dinner. There is abundance everywhere. There is no lack. People are full, bloated. Oh. Ate one piece of fish too much. One piece of bread. Don't tell me the 100-fold is not in the New Testament because there were 5 loaves and each loaf increased 100-fold and 5,000. 100,000 men there. So, I mean, you know, I was born at night, but not last night. Listen to me. That hundredfold was there. There was such an abundant supply. But then you see another side of God that you normally don't see. Because we always see his abundance. We see his pearly gates. We see his gold streets, his diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. We see all those things. But we never see this other side of God. And a lot of times we get very lax in this. He sees all this wonderful, wonderful miracle taking place. More than enough. El Shaddai has come. He's broke the power of natural law. He's not Elohim here. He is El Shaddai, who has the ability to break natural law. And he distributes a lunch to feed thousands of people. But then he says something. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now that brings me back over to the book of Romans. I believe it's chapter 12. And this is something I'm going to say preachers have missed greatly in their life. He says, well, turn with me to the book of Romans. I believe it's chapter. Let me just read it for you because I want you to see this. Book of Romans, I believe it's chapter 12. Hang on a second here. Let me find it. Romans chapter 12. I want to build this this message here. Right here, yeah. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Now, this statement right here, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We understood the fervency of spirit. We've understood the serving of the Lord, but very few ministers do not understand business. They are lazy when it comes to their ministries. They're lazy in their own work. They're slothful in business. I would tell all of you sometime this year, take a business course and learn some things. How is God going to give you the wealth of the sinner? What are you going to do with it if you don't understand business? What would you do if God gave you $1 billion today? You know what most people do? I put it in bank. Well, my God, the bank went broke. You only have $100,000 left. Because the United States government only guarantees $100,000 in that bank. See, if you don't have any business sense, and let me tell you something, a lot of churches were built in the 80s, and they were built out of pride instead of out of business, and a lot of people couldn't pay their notes because they were not business people. And if you're not a business person, get somebody around you that understands it and don't be intimidated about it. Receive that miracle of God that's in that person to handle business. You understand? He said, be not slothful. Don't be lazy with it. Now, Jesus says in verse 12, when they were filled, he waited till they were filled, till there's abundance everywhere. He said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. The title of this message today is Waste Not and You'll Want Not. Your riches may be in your fragments. Write that down. Waste not and you'll want not. Your riches may be in your fragments. Now watch this. People don't think much of fragments because they are a part. But verse 13 says, therefore gather them together. They don't look like much when they're apart. But when they're together, because remember this is an unrealized possibility in the fragments. You may have been believing God for something and your blessing is right in front of you, but because you can't see it because it's all in pieces and fragments, but if you put them together, there'll be more than enough to handle what you're believing for. The fragments are useless when they are apart, but gather them together and you will see that there are riches in the fragment. Now the Bible says man does not live by bread alone, but he must have bread if he's to live at all. I've had some people say, man don't live by bread alone. I say, yeah, but you got to have some bread to live. You see, and the Lord began to deal with me about fragments. Let me tell you something. I believe this without a shadow of a doubt. If you have a television ministry, and if, say, your ministry, your budget, I don't know, $1 million a month, $2 million a month, $100,000 a month, whatever. And what comes in, let's say, we'll use this figure. Let's just say your budget is $1 million a month. And what comes in to pay your budget is $900,000 or $875,000. And you figure, my God, man, I need $1 million a month to at least just pay my television budget or whatever, or whatever. You may realize, you think, why God did that come in? And let me just say this, and I don't mean this to be arrogant or anything. I'm a man that believes in a buffer. Now let me explain a buffer. I like a pillar. So I kept about $2.5 million on the side just in case. It's called a buffer. You see, just in case. And then in this building project that I was doing, I noticed that I would say, Lord, I need $468,000 today over and above the normal operating budget that it takes to operate just in the Planners Ministries. And I didn't get it, Leroy. I said, what's the problem? He said, go to that fragment account. Because see, you were piecemealing that all the time. And you were using that. See, I never did put 2.5 million at one time. But what I did, I put it a little bit here and a little bit there and it built up. And then watch this. I said this one time, worst thing I ever said in my life. I'm going to put $1 million over here just in case I lose the engine on my jet. Guess what happened? I lost the engine on my jet. My faith worked. And I'm thinking, come on, God. He says, I've already met that need. I said, how? He said, in the fragments, in the over and above and beyond that you've been piecemealing, putting over here. I said, yeah, but I just want to look at that. He said, looking at it don't help. You sound like that boy with that one talent that buried it. Now watch this. Some people say, now I'm not talking about a poverty spirit. But I did something three months ago. I was in my office. I have a nice office, and the Lord's blessed it. And God said, as I was walking out, I always take my lights off. Now watch this, I just take my lights off. I don't know why I do it, just do. Well, maybe the reason why, because mama said, boy, take them lights off, boy. I said, mom, we don't live in the stone ages. But you know how kids all like to have a light on in every house, in the closet on, all that kind of stuff. And the Lord said, tell your staff, then when they walk out their offices, I don't care if it's for 30 seconds, just take the lights off. That's not a hard thing to do, is it? So I sent a little email out. I have 102 people who work for us. I said, this is Jesse Duplan is saying, when you walk out of your offices, I just want you to take your lights off. You walk back in, put them back on. And the worst one's Kathy. Leave the thing on all the time. I said, Kathy, just cut your light off. Well, I'm coming back in about a minute. That's okay. Just amuse me. I know y'all think I'm tight and crazy, but I'm under the direction of God here. I can afford the light bill, ladies and gentlemen. That's not the issue. I can afford it. I can keep Entergy happy. Just do it. They did. Ladies and gentlemen, my utility bill went down $5,000 the first month. I said, God. He went, fragments. Now, that's 5 times 12, $60,000 a year. Pay a salary on that. Pay a secretary of goods. Pay some insurance. $60,000 over something very small. Now, here's Jesus, who is this bountiful supply. Then all of a sudden, you see the frugal side of him. Now, frugality comes out of it. He goes, gather up the fragments. That there remain no loss. Because to him, he don't see them apart. He sees them as 12 baskets. We see them as pieces. Now, why did he do that? The book of John chapter 9, verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, what is that telling you? Fragments sustain you when you cannot work. Write that down. Your fragments can sustain you when you don't work. Let me tell you why I believe in being debt free. The recession will not bother me because I believe Brother Copeland said I live that. But let's just say a worldwide depression would just hit. You know what me and Kathy can do? Because we owe no man anything but to love him, we can sit in the front of that big ministry with a rocking chair and just rock, baby, rock. Who let the dogs out? Ooh, ooh, come on, baby. Who let the dogs out? And just sit there and rock till it's over. Why? Because we've been sustained by the fragments. We're sustained by the blessing. We owe no man to owe nothing but to love him and let the winds of depression blow. Because you see, to me, it becomes my opportunity. Because a building that'll cost you $3.5 million, you now can pick up anywhere from $375,000 to $500,000 and sit and rock. And we did that, daddy. And we bought a piece of property for $335,000. And today it's worth $2.5 million. Just rock. And I won't tell you, so nobody was buying nothing. And we bought the property out the fragments. Are y'all getting this? Not talking about a poverty spirit. Because I don't believe you ought to try to cut everybody's profitability out of something. People got to make a living. Don't misunderstand. And to the point where they make a giving. But when I begin to see this, and I like what Brother Copeland said, that the greatest wealth has been accumulated on downtimes because people who had the liquid to buy could do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people said, my God. And you know, what did he do? Well, see, that's wisdom. That's an unrealized possibility. And when you understand this, if you start looking at all your fragments, they're apart right now. If you just go home after this meeting and gather them together, how many times you ever put change in a bottle? After a while, they get about this thick, and you're thinking, my God, it was only 40 cents, 60 cents, 72 cents. All of a sudden, by the end of the year, it's $300 in there. How many people have done that before? You might have bought some giveaway. Amazing, huh? You know what it was? Fragments. Never thought twice about it. But fragments accumulate. Now, I want you to see this. When you're not conscious of the fragments, you throw away future opportunities and privileges. The destiny of others may depend upon your attention to the fragments. You see, you're throwing away future opportunities and privileges. There are possibilities and fragments that very few people see. The parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15, 1 through 7. The parable of the lost coin, Luke 15, 8 through 10. The parable of the lost son, Luke 15, 11 through 32. All this valuable things all around you, and you're not realizing. And all of a sudden, you're not making your budget. And you're thinking, God is not meeting my need. Maybe I need to call Doug and tell him I got to get off that television station because, you know, he just ain't producing. But he may be producing more than I thought. Maybe God want me just to preach and not look for the money to come back. Maybe he just wants me to preach the gospel to people who don't know nothing about giving, have never given before. And bless God, if I start looking around, I find out, my Lord Jesus, there's a lot of fragments. So I'll just take the fragments and pay that. Because what are we preaching to and what are we preaching for? Are we preaching so we can get a return of money, or are we preaching so we can get a return of souls? I think we have to look at that sometimes. Are you understand? Now, one thing I hate more in my life is poverty. I've hated because I grew up poor. You got to understand. Now, I don't mean this arrogantly. We can edit this. I'm one of the wealthiest men in the city of New Orleans today. I don't mean that arrogantly. I give God the glory. It came really from Kenneth and Gloria's teachings. I mean, I thought, bless God. She said, remember that, glory to God. Yeah, I know. I understand. God has been, I don't mean that arrogantly, but God has been very gracious. But you got to understand, Brother Hilton, for Christmas, what I got for Christmas, me and my oldest brother, not my younger brother, my sister. My daddy was doing a little bit better by the time, because I'm 7 years older than my youngest brother. I got an apple and an orange for Christmas. Anybody here ever did that? I mean, and listen, it wasn't in a real Christmas stocking. It was in one of Mama's stockings. And Mama had big legs, buddy. I want to let you know. And I said, Mama, why don't y'all at least fill up the stocking? I'd wake up on Christmas morning. I'll never forget it. And I would have an apple and an orange. And every once in a while, we'd get what we call a butternut candy bar. Anybody remember? I don't know if they had that here in Texas. Or a big time candy bar. Oh, Lord Jesus. You had one in purple big time candy bar. Hey! And our dessert was to get a Coke. Oh, Lord Jesus. You remember how good them little Cokes were? Those wonderful little Cokes. Now, you can buy them in 2 liter, 3 liter, but they just don't taste right. But them little Cokes, you just go, just suck them down. How many of y'all used to take a pack of peanuts and pour it in the Coke? Now, look at this. All you rich people, never lift your hand. Poor people know what we're talking about. How many of y'all put them peanuts in that Coke? Come on. Hey, glory to God. Put them peanuts in that Coke. Just suck them. Oh, now that was a great treat. That's what we got for Christmas. Now, I wasn't mad because I got an apple and an orange. But I've always been a giver all my life. I wanted to buy my mama something. But I didn't have nothing. So, at a very young age, I asked my grandfather, I said, you're old and you're about ready to die. Nobody liked him. He went, remember, you remember? Kathy thought I was lying. I introduced Kathy. I said, I'm telling you, he's walking death. He weighed about 66 pounds. He was a miser. He had much money, but he wouldn't feed himself. And we'd walk into his house and he'd go, you come to eat? I said, shut up, you old fool. Mama go, don't you talk to your grandpa like that. You know? And when Kathy saw him, she went, oh. Remember that kid? You went, oh. I said, don't worry. He won't be around. He's going to die. Everybody waiting for him to die. But the sucker keep living. But I must have been kept living and living. I used to come and say, Mama said the other night that you're going to die. When you going to die, old man? He hated everybody. But he loved my grandma. That's the only one. He hated his own kids. He just hated everybody. He's just terrible. I mean, he was just, I don't, it's true. It's just simply true. So I said, hey, old man. And I'm 8 years old. I figured out a way. I said, you can't hardly walk. And you know nobody love you. I told this to my grandma. He goes, yeah, what about it? He always kept a stick. I make sure he wouldn't hit me. He hit me many times with that stick, that old fool. But he just... he did die. He only had 12 roses at his funeral. And they buried it. They wanted to bury him in a khaki shirt and khaki pants. They didn't want to buy it. That's another story. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. It brings back bad memories. So I said, can I use your lawnmower for what? I said, I'm going to cut grass. How much you going to charge? In those days, you cut a lot for 50 cents. I mean, a big lot. I mean, I'm talking about no small. I mean, you know, kids don't do that no more. But I mean, a dollar. He say, go give me half. And don't you lie to me. Don't tell me you cut that man a lot, got a dollar for that lot, and you give me 25 cents. I said, trust me. I lied to that old man. I never. So he let me use his lawnmower. So I start cutting grass as a kid. I'd come home. Cut grass. You see. And people, I'd say, y'all want y'all grass cut? You know how to cut grass? Boy, you look pretty small. Yes, sir, I know how to cut grass. Yes, sir. I cut your grass. I made it look like a carpet. So I'd cut it. They're supposed to give me $1.50. They said, boy, you cut it. You did a good job. Here's 50 cents more. My grandpa, man, come. He said, how much money you give me? I said, they pay me a dime. You lying. I said, yeah, but you too old to figure it out. We did not like each other. Well, I saved my money. And then come Christmas. I never forget this. Oof, I don't want to go there. I was able to buy something for my mama. A robe. $4. I worked hard for that robe. I got an orange and an apple. And I told her, if you live long enough, woman, I'll make sure you'll never be poor. I hated it. Because it was a curse. It was a curse. And she lived long enough for me to buy her home, car, shopping. Come on, mama. Oh, Jesse. We can't do that. Come on, big mama. Man, she's big. I'd have to push that big butt. Come on. Come on, mama. Come on. I just push her. Y'all excuse me. I remember doing that. Come on, mama. Go ahead. Put that dress on. Oh, I'm going to wear it when I die. Oh, no. You don't want to wear it when you die. Let me. And she died with clothes we bought with the price tag still. In fact, mama had no. Mama didn't like. Mama was a mini, mini pearl. She kept them price tags on. Look how much this costs. He didn't have nothing. But you know, in them little 50 cents and dollars that most people would have thrown away, which they considered fragments, became a great blessing to me. And I was able to do things I wanted to do. And in that short time and in that small time, God gave me some business sense. And I went to work for Mr. Stump at the IGA food liner. I got me a job. He said, I'm going to make you a bag boy. I said, I'm worth more than that, Mr. Stump, but I'll bag the more groceries you ever seen in anyone's life. I said, but I'm looking to go somewhere. 11 years old. The other day, I saw one of his sons, Mr. Stump. Oh, he's passed away. He'd be 98, 99 years old now. But I wouldn't take the cucumbers one time out the produce department. I shined them up. Well, people bought them cucumbers. Because, you know, when I wasn't on my bagging duties, instead of go sit down and I go down that vegetable. And he looked at me, he says, you think you can take care of this? I said, yes, sir. I'll make these vegetables look so good that they'll dream at night about tomatoes. I know how to do this, Mr. Stump. I know I'm a kid, but I can do this. And he was a very big man. He looked at me, he says, I like you good. I like you. I wish my children were like you, but look at these boys I got. Boy, and his boss didn't like me neither. I said, they're my bosses. I don't want you to make them mad at me. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And he had a boy named Dennis. He said, Dennis, Jesse Duplantis is going to be the manager of the produce department. I'm 11 years old. There are men working there that are 28, 29, 34. And Mr. Stump looked at those men and said, he is going to be your boss. Because y'all been here for 5 years. All I ever seen was dull cucumbers, dull tomatoes. That boy shined them cucumbers and put water on them. And we ain't got a cucumber in this place. And that tells me something. I said, I can do it, Mr. Stump. I can do it. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I can do it. He said, you're going to get a raise. I went, how much? He said, I'm going to raise you to $30 a week. Lord Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, $30 a week. This is when you could buy a pair of Levi's for $4. Remember the U.S. kids shoes with the blue stamp on the back? Oh, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I had men mad at me and an 11-year-old boy. I said, you go get that stuff over there. Tell you one kid. Stump said, if you smart off to that man, that kid, I'll fire you today. Ladies and gentlemen, I became the manager of the produce department at the IGA food line in Venice, Louisiana at 11 years old. I ordered all the stuff from the plants, 11 years old. Listen to me. I had lettuce coming in. They put them, I said, pull in 3 leaves of lettuce off. Throw some water on there. I want that thing looking fresh. They couldn't keep produce in there. He would come up to me and go, ooh, I love this boy. I love this boy. Talked about me all his life. Be not slothful in business. You see, I saw an unrealized possibility as an 11-year-old kid. And I realized that a prophet may be in the things that you think are worthless. Watch this. Jesus did not come into the world that men might work less. Right? Would you please write that down? Jesus did not come into the world that men might work less. Some people think, well, bless God. I had a big offer last night. I don't think I'm going to do it. Well, I'm blessed. I'm going to just lay here. No, man. He didn't come in the world that you may work less. Flying home in December of 2000 last year, I had a strong year preaching the gospel. I was tired. And I sat down and I told my pilots, it was December the 14th. I said, take me home, boys. I don't want to see y'all till next year. Boy, they said, we love you, Brother Jeff, but we don't want to see you neither. Because we were working almost every day in that plane. Now, you know, I've had that plane, 6 years, Kathy, I think? Maybe 7? I love that little plane. I never had taken my shoes off. I thought, I always laid on the couch, rested a little bit happy, you know, but I throwed my legs, I took them shoes off, and I'm going, oh. I was coming home. My last meeting for the year 2000. And I said, Lord, and I do most of my partner letters, you know, my thoughts and things come on that airplane and my studying's on that plane. I mean, that's just what I do. I don't want to learn how to fly because that's where I learn. Most of my work's there. I'm gone most of the time. Make a long story short. I said, Lord. He said, you sure have worked hard for me this year. I said, I did my best. I said, but you know, I didn't quite, maybe I could have done better, you know, because I'm always critique myself. You know, I've learned something. The best critic should be yourself, at yourself. You know, you'll find out who you are if you really look at yourself. And I said, you know what, maybe I'd have done a better job. Maybe if I'd have held that altar call a little longer. You know, we had 286 people come forward. Maybe. He said, no, you were right on time. I said, but you know, Did I do all right? He said, you did good. I said, can I ask you a question? What? Now, and I'm going to say something, and don't take this out of context. I don't pray much. But I do talk a lot. See, I find praying, and you're always asking God for something. Lord Jesus, won't you help me, Lord? Please, Lord, I heard. If you say it. But I wanted a God I could talk to. I find most people praying that I guess, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. I don't like it when my staff comes talk to me and all they're always asking me for something. I don't mind giving it something, but I would like for them to just come say, hi, Brother Jesse, how you doing? One thing me and Kathy, we have a wonderful marriage, you know, and I use her a lot in my, you know, in my sermons and things, but we talk to each other. You know, we have fellowship, not just a relationship, you know, and so I want to talk to God. So I don't, to me, now this is my definition, you may disagree with that, but to me praying is, Lord Jesus, I need this, I need that. Lord God, if you don't help me today, Lord, and that's good, don't make sense that he knows that. But the Bible says he knows you need of these things because you're about his business anyway. So usually I just come to the throne and say, hey Jesus, how you doing? Let me tell you, did you see that crazy woman in that church, that back service? He said, I tell you what, she made me laugh. I said, she made me laugh too. I said, she was nuts. He said, yes, she was. He said, but I love her. I said, yeah, you love nutty people. He said, I love you. I said, yeah, you do. I know. Now, that's the kind of, you can say what you want, but that's how I talk to God. I keep my joy. I've lost some happiness, but I've never lost joy. Because against such, there is no law. So you ain't going to take the joy out of me. Because against such, there is no law. You can't. Now, but happiness is an emotional feeling. So I'm sitting, I said, what about 2001? And I heard the Lord go, whew. And I said, what'd you do that for? He said, Jesse, finally, a generation that can receive. My biggest struggle was not in getting people saved, was to get them to receive. He said, I fought it with the Apostle Paul all the days of his life. I'm going to work my own hands, bless God. And I believe in that. But the only time you ever hear Paul says, I'm full and I abound and I lack nothing. Because I have received from Epaphroditus. See, he had a problem with receiving in some areas. Now, don't let that shock you because he's just as human as you are. But finally, he says, I'm full and abound. I have need enough because I have received. He said, the first generation of preachers that I can give planes to. Couldn't give them. I mean, Brother Copeland started that out playing. Blame, bless God. I had a lot of people say, well, how much gas did that plane burn? If you got to worry about the gas, you don't need a plane. Because gas is the smallest bill on the plane. That's just gas. I said all that to say this. Don't quarrel with the doctrines of rewards. Write that down. See, there's rewards in your fragments. Don't quarrel with them. Don't quarrel with the 30, 60, and 104. And don't try to talk somebody out of believing that. If you can't believe it, that's fine. But let somebody who got enough guts, gall, and audacity to believe it. Well, I don't want them to get overbalanced. How many people you know are overbalanced? Have you seen the body of Christ lately? They sure don't have more than enough. How many of you men could go on more television if you had more money? Hold your hand up. How many of you people could do more things in your church if you had more money? Hold your hand up, huh? Come on, ladies and gentlemen. You're not overbalanced. You just believe in the red stuff. Jesus loved the people enough to feed them that day and gather fragments for their future need. So don't quarrel with the doctrines of rewards. Listen to this point. You should not think of the minimum of need, but think of the maximum of love. See, Philip was thinking of the minimum need. My God, man, 200 penny worth. I mean, but they're just going to get a little. But Jesus has got the maximum of love on his mind. He said, I'm going to be abundant, but in my great overabundance, I'm going to be frugal. Now, Lord woke me up, and some of you heard me say this when I was building this. Oh, I want to personally invite anyone that would love to come next Friday. Not tomorrow, but next Friday. We're dedicating the new debt-free campus facilities that all be open up for touring a couple of hours earlier. And Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are coming, speakers to come and dedicate these facilities. And they're beautiful. I'm telling you what, and if you'd like to come, we'd love for you to come. We'll reserve a seat for you if you'd like to come. If you want to come and see something impossible, and see something. People say, why are you in such art? I got art everywhere. I have art in the executive offices. I have art all over the ground. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the church started with art. God never told us to build malls. We've lost that quality. All artwork came out of the church, ladies and gentlemen. It came from the very depths of God. That men would say, oh God, you've given this ability. Let me paint the Sistine Chapel to your glory. That for generations, people would see it. Instead of saying, bless God, you know, this quality is for us. It started with us. And you could get some if you just look at your fragments. The prodigal, what's this? The father of the prodigal son had a maximum of love. The prodigal son was content with just forgiveness. He come back, wasted his inheritance. He said, listen, I'll be your slave. Yeah, I'm content with just for forgiveness. I'm just tired of eating pig slop. I know at least I'll get a corn on the cob. Something here. Just forgive me. The father looked at him. See, he's trying to quarrel with the doctor. And the father never even mentioned that. What are you saying? I'm saying he got the best robe, or the best robe leaves the wardrobe of the master. He got the best ring, the best robe, and the best party anybody ever had. Because God wasn't dealing with his past. God was dealing with his present. He lost everything he had and got a second inheritance because his father says, oh no, you don't understand. He's my son. Yeah, but he's a low down dirty dog. Yeah, but he's my son. You see, and some of y'all are just content with forgiveness. And some of you watching my television, come here, writing ugly books about me, saying ugly things about my friend. The Lord just forgive us. You just like that prodigal son. And the father looked at him and said, man, I got the best robe. I'm going to take it out of my wardrobe and put it on you. I'm going to give you a ring. So don't get mad as if we wear jewelry. You understand what I'm saying? My God, man, let me give you a great party. Let me bless. Let me tell everybody that which is lost, come home. He never saw him as a slave. He never saw him as a failure. He saw him as a son. See what I'm saying? And of course, it'll make other religious people, man. Well, bless God, I've lived for you all my life. You ain't never done that for me. And the Lord says, everything I've ever had's been yours. But you never would take it. You never would receive it. So the prodigal son was content with just forgiveness, but the best robe leaves the wardrobe of the master. He got the best ring, the best robe, the best shoes, the best party, because you just can't quarrel with the doctrines of rewards. That's Luke chapter 15, 11 through 32, if you want to read it. Now, there's a difference between buying bread and begging bread. Jesus said, Psalms 37, 25, and 26, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. The thing, and I can say this to Kenneth and Gloria's reputation, the thing that marked me about Kenneth and Gloria, well, let me just say that, it was the tenacity to look at people and say, look, this is what the word of God said. If you don't like it, you got a problem. And walk off. And people would go, how can he say that? And he'd say it again. And their integrity concerning finance. There is no one, and I preach in all different circles, that can attack these people concerning money and integrity of how money is raised and how money comes in. I mean, I've heard him say some ugly things, but he'll always say this. But I got to say this one thing. You ain't never heard the man beg. He didn't need to beg. He's always believed he was a son. And son, come home. I'm going to get that best robe. I'm going to get that best ring. I'm going to get that best party. I'm going to get them best shoes. And the party's for us. Now, you know, Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there be meat in mine house. Prove me now here, saith the Lord of hosts. If I not open up the windows, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. The problem is, most people think, Leroy, that the blessings are coming to the church. No. The more than enough doesn't come to the church house. The more than enough comes to your house. See, the tithe and the offering comes to God's house, which produces meat. But he said, I'll pour you out a blessing. You out. That means the more than enough, the overabundant supply, all that stuff doesn't come to this house, comes to your house. But the reason why, you can't receive it because you're content with just forgiveness. And the world's going to hell in a handbasket because we won't believe for what God said we could have. And if we'd believe for what God said we could have, we could preach this gospel on every available voice everywhere. I'm believing God to, and you know, Doug's my TV bond. I'm believing God that I'm going to call Doug in the very near future and say, find every station. I don't care. I want to be on the Playboy channel. I mean, I want them watching when everybody greasy, just doing wrong stuff. And all of a sudden I come on. Hey, I caught you. I got you. And I want them to get mad at me and say, I tell you what, in a stinking preacher. Boom. And I'm on. Hey, boom. Hey, boom. Everywhere you go. Where is he? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. I want to be on that. Let me tell you how that's done. Money. That's how that's done. But we have been content with just forgiveness and eating fragments instead of gathering them together. Bless God. And we started wasting and we want it. When my God, almost every one of your needs has been met with just the stuff that's on the ground, laying the ground, but it don't look like much because it's a part. But my God, when you put it together, you see destiny, future, privilege. Now that ain't count what God's giving you. That's just what you fell out your mouth as you ate. There's a vast difference, or there's a big difference between buying bread and begging bread. Man asked me this the other day. I don't do many telethons. I've been asked to do a bunch of them. But just would you come? And I believe in that. Don't misunderstand me. So I've done them. You know, I've done them for TBN. I've done them for television stations. You know, because they need help. I have no problem with that. But the man asked me something. It shocked me. And I never thought about it. I preached my first message in January 1976. I went into full-time ministry in 1978, but my first message was 1976. And all these years, I've never had a partner meeting. Never. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to start having some. Spirit of God quickened me. And I've never done a telethon for myself. I'm on a lot of stations. I could do that for myself. Nothing wrong with that because I'm preaching the gospel. And a man asked me this when I was in California in November of 2000. I was doing the telethon for Paul and Jan Crouch. And he had been asking me about 3 or 4 years to do it, and I hadn't done it. So I said, okay, I will. I did. Make a long story short. He says, why haven't you done a telethon for yourself? Which is nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand it. And what came out of my mouth is what came out of Kenneth's mouth to me one time on a motorcycle trip. I've had the honor of becoming great friends with these people, so I see the prophet of God and highly respect it. But I also see Kenneth Copeland, the man. And, you know, and that was the call normal. And what came out of my mouth, it was like as if Brother Copeland was talking out of me. He said, well, why haven't you raised it for you? Why haven't you done that? And Kenneth told me this on a motorcycle trip one time. He said, Jesus never raised fish. You know, like a shadow of a dog never bit nobody. I have the fish story. Jesus never raised fish. And I thought, what revelation am I getting out of this? He never raised fish. You know what I mean? Does it make any sense? And then he looked at me and said, you know, Brother Cole, Jesus caught fish. So I looked at the man, I said, Jesus never raised fish. Jesus caught fish. When you figure that out, you call me. I knew what it meant. He laughed. I said, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with raising fish. You misunderstand? But I like this higher step. Oh, that's that integrity step. That's jumping up there like this. I mean, you got, oh, that high water. You got to pull your legs. Oh, Jesus. That you can just say this. Bless God. We're believing God for a citation then, and it's going to come to pass. And in the name of Jesus, it'll happen. Now, let me teach you the word of God. That means this. I ain't looking for money. Money looking for me. I don't have to look for it. I got to run away from it because it's getting so much, Lord Jesus. And then now when that begins to happen, people get very angry. You know why? Because you're not raising the fish. They're going out there. We work. We work. We work. maybe I shouldn't say this. The other day I walked into a health club and this lady said, we must increase. You fill in the blanks. I went, oh, excuse me. Let me get out of here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thought that was so funny. Y'all, I'm letting y'all fill in the blanks. Look at some people going. Finally, this lady come out there. She would just sweat. She said, I ain't doing this no more. Implants is for me. I'm going home. Forget this. She walked out of there. Glory to God. I said to myself, get down with your bad self, mama. Go ahead. I don't care. It ain't none of my business. Trying to be something that you're not. Nothing wrong with that. I believe in cosmetic surgery. I'm believing it more and more. I brushed my teeth this morning and my face slapped me on the other side this morning. Lord Jesus. Barry Tubbs says, do you want Brother Copeland's mic to put right? I said, no, I got the chicken neck. They're going to rub it all. Did y'all hear Jerry's neck rubbing his microphone? I told you I'd go get funny. Just, I'm sorry, Jerry. I was going, you know, he's my friend. I was going to run up there and say, preach, Jerry. Come on, preach. Just one little shot. Praise God. He is my friend. My blessed. Well, I'm out of sermons. This is it. I mean, no. Let me say this. You have an unrealized possibility when you go home. Waste not and you'll want not. Your riches may be in your fragment. Ladies and gentlemen, going back to that $2.5 million. I use it all. I know what you're thinking. Won't you help me? Won't you help me? No, there's a vast difference between buying bread and begging bread. I accepted the same responsibility that Kenneth and Gloria taught us. And when we finish this, I don't mean this to sound arrogant, but I'm proud of my business sense. Because ladies and gentlemen, they appraised this campus the other day at $14 million. We built it for $6,783,000. We came under budget. And I can't do it because of myself. It was because of their teachings. And God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, go to the property. God, Lord Jesus, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, I know it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't mind watching a movie at 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you mad at me? Get up. So I went out there thinking I'm going to receive a great revelation from God. I figured 3 o'clock in the morning, well, maybe he won't give me something big here. I walked out there. He said, walk around there. Man, 9 acres, you know. Lord, take a long time to walk around 9 acres of land with a pair of pajamas on. Come on. I had my pajamas on. And Kathy hates them pajamas because I love them. They cut off. My best one ain't got no elastic. You got to hold them. I love it. I like everything loose, too. I like Keith. I want them loose, baby. I'm walking around there in them pajamas. And, you know, I find the older you get, you lose all the hair on your legs. I used to have hairy legs. I ain't got a hair. Look at this. There ain't nothing on that leg. It's gone. The older you get, you start losing your head. Better than my head. Thank God. I'm holding them pajamas. 3 o'clock in the morning. St. Charles Parish police walked, drove by, said, that crazy preacher, look at him out there. I said, what, Lord? He said, I have one statement for you that I want you to remember doing the building of this process. We've been building for almost 4 solid years. We finally finished. And it's beautiful. Isn't it, Leroy? I mean, Leroy said, oh, I can tell when Leroy's in order. He go. I like that. I had an order. He go. I think, Lord Jesus, here it come. And the Lord said, watch over my money. Remember the tomatoes and the cucumbers. God, I ain't thought about that. I'm 51 years old. I ain't thought of it. Remember how you watched over that man's produce like it was yours? Yeah, and remember how he rewarded you? And you became a boss of, as a child, over full-grown men. Yeah. Well, if you can do that for Mr. Stump, could you do that for me? Yeah. He said, watch the fragments. That's where I begin to get this, the fragments. I got people that do that. Yeah. But nobody can do it like you. Because the vision and the revelation didn't come to the contractor. Didn't come to your executive director. Didn't come to whoever runs your ministry. It came to you. Now you're going to have some work ethic. And it ain't going to be easy sometimes. Because you see, you can get them to gather it. Then they're going to look at you and say, what do you want to do with these 12? What do you want to do with these 12 baskets? See, that also needs some work. That's what I'm saying. It takes way greater work to invest the over and above than it does to believe for just enough. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe this generation is going to see the wealth of the sun. It's on layaway. But we need to go to layaway. And I don't doubt the angel saying, when are they going to go pick up their stuff? But I'm going to tell you something. What you going to do when it drops? What you going to do? You can't be caught short-handed. What you going to do? I mean, I'm telling you, 12 baskets about ready to hit us. The wealth of all those is going to come upon the wealth of the sun. I want to tell you something. In one day, the NASDAQ lost $300 billion. What would you do with $300 billion? Billion. B. You better have some sense. Or know somebody that knows how. You have to be prepared to receive that harvest. Now, let me say this in closing real quick. In preparing to receive that harvest, you may spend all you have and your fragments. But you're on a runway. And the heaviest your plane is right before you're ready to take off to a meeting. Full gas everywhere. Everybody full. Notice it. When there ain't much in there, it's light. It could come up quick. But you're going to produce. So we must be ready to receive not only the souls that God is going to save by the billions. I believe that. But every fiber of my being. But to receive the harvest, so we don't say, oh, God, we're overwhelmed. I don't know how to handle $100 million. I've never had a million. I've never had 300,000. I don't know how. Start learning. You don't have to have it to learn it. You understand what I'm saying? But you need to learn it. Or get somebody around you that knows that business. That you totally trust. And it'll work for you. Waste not, and you'll want not. Your riches may be in your fragments. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap.